You may have your seats. We've been going through a series called How to Have a Relationship with God. And every single week, we talk about this idea of how to have a relationship, because as we go through the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy is just that. It's a guide. It's a document about how we're supposed to have a relationship with God. Now, there's this word that I introduced last week called the word covenant. And we've talked about this idea of covenant, and Deuteronomy is basically a restatement of the covenant that we have with God. The word covenant just means basically like a contract, a kind of like a relationship that we have with God. And in every covenant, it explains what the rules are. What are the rules that each party that is in this covenant, in this relationship, needs to keep, and what will be the result if we do keep it, and what will be the result if we don't keep it. And so that's what the book of Deuteronomy is all about, and we've been slowly going through Deuteronomy to kind of understand what it is to have a relationship with our God. Now, why is this even important? This is important because not just Christians, not just us here that are joining this service today, but people all around the world have a deep sense of wanting to connect with something that's beyond them. Every person wants to have some type of experience where they feel like they are a part of something important, that there is meaning in their life. And what the scripture tells us is that the only way to understand this thing that's beyond us, the only way to get in touch with the supernatural, is to have a relationship with the God of the Bible. And so that's why it's important for us to talk about this idea of a covenant. The title for today's sermon is The Covenant Maker. And we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 32 to 40 today. And so if you have your Bibles, please open up your Bibles to this passage. It's the fifth book from the very beginning of the Bible. If you did pick up one of these Bibles from the front, from the back, all you have to do is turn to page 149. Page 149. And I do want to encourage you guys to have a Bible open in front of you. There will be times today where I'm going to be referring to some verses and we're not going to have it on the screen. And so please, if you're able to, have a Bible open in front of you. Again, we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 32 to verse 40. This is the reading of God's Word. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of the heaven to the other, whether such a great thing as this has ever happened or was ever heard of. Did any people ever hear the voice of a God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard and still live? Or has any God ever attempted to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation, by trials, by signs, by wonders, and by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great deeds of terror, all of which the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. To you it was shown, that you might know that the Lord is God. There is no other besides him. Out of heaven he lets you hear his voice, that he might discipline you. And on earth he let you see his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers and chose their offspring after them, and brought you out of Egypt with his own presence by his great power, driving out before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know, therefore, today, and lay it to your heart that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. Therefore you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Amen. We're talking about this word covenant. And again, it's important for us to understand that having this relationship with God is such an important thing. The only way to really experience life, the only way to really experience meaning in your life, purpose in your life, is to have a relationship with God. And last week we talked about these two different covenants. The covenant of works, which basically says if you obey God, there will be blessings. But if you don't obey God, there will be curses. You will experience death. And there was another covenant that we talked about last week, the covenant of grace, which basically says you will receive blessings because of Jesus. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ and what he's done, you already have blessings from the Lord. And the abundant blessings leads us to bless others. And that's because the curses were all laid on Jesus Christ. Now, in our context today, what Moses does, and this is written by Moses, Deuteronomy, what Moses does is that he has been recounting the past about God's relationship with his people, and he talked about how God already rescued his people. They were in a place of slavery, and they were wandering around in the wilderness, but God already had a relationship with them. He rescued them so that they could be his people. They were already blessed, even though they were still going through the wilderness, but they were blessed because they had a relationship with God. You know, at the very end of our passage today, it says, and this is an idea that we've heard over and over again, but at the end of the passage it says, therefore you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for all time. And we may ask, okay, we're supposed to obey God's commands, but it's very difficult at times. We're supposed to obey God's commands, but, and some of us might think, I'm afraid. If I don't obey God's commands, then I might face punishment. God may punish me in some kind of way, and I'm afraid of that. And I want to remind all of you today that if you are a Christian, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't have to think in a way as if you're still in the covenant of works, where if you do what's good, God will bless you, and if you do what's wrong, God will curse you. We don't have to think in that way anymore. As a Christian, we can think along the lines of the covenant of grace. We are already blessed. God has already rescued us. God has already worked in our lives and continues to work. And if you are already blessed, then that blessing that we receive leads us to bless others. And the idea of blessing others is basically the idea of living according to God's commands. It's not that we must obey out of fear, but we obey out of gratitude, out of thankfulness to God for what he's done in our lives. But again, for us, maybe for a lot of you, if we want to obey someone, if we want to do what seems good, then we have to be confident enough about who that person is. Right? If someone tells me that I should be doing something, I'm not going to listen to them unless I know who that person is. Unless I can trust that person. And so that's why today, as the title says, we're going to be focusing on who God is, the covenant maker. And the main idea for today is to know and decide that the Lord is God in Christ. And the three points that we'll be going over today is, number one, the Lord is God. He's the covenant maker. Number two, know and decide. And number three, in Christ. And basically, it's the main idea, just kind of rearranged a bit. All right, so the main idea is, know and decide that the Lord is God in Christ. And basically, I'm basing this off of verse 39, where it says, know therefore today and lay it to your heart. This idea, lay it to your heart, I'll explain a little bit later, but I'm using the word decide to describe that idea. And lay it to your heart that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. Alright, so let's talk about this idea of the Lord, He who is God. The Lord is God. I created this little slide for you guys so that we can quickly go over the passage and you guys can get a basic idea of what's going on in especially the beginning portion of our passage. It starts off by saying in verse 32, for ask now of the days that are past, which were before you since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether such a great thing as this has ever happened or was ever heard of. Okay, let's pause for a moment on that verse before we dive into the rest of it here. It says basically, go and ask anyone all throughout history. Go to every corner of the earth and ask, has there been any kind of event like this? Any kind of situation like what we're experiencing today where we have a relationship with God? Our God is a God that works in a unique way like no other false God out there. There's no one, no thing that can claim the same things that our God can claim, because our God is a great God. And here's the thing. It says that, you know, go and ask if such a great thing, such a good thing has ever happened in the lives of God's people, in the lives of anyone out there. You know, what that tells me is that God, for those of us that are in a relationship with God, no matter how much we hear about punishment and things like that, for God's people, God is working for good. God is working for your good. And the things that happen in our lives, they happen, and they are great things that happen. And some of you, I know you guys are saying, well, life doesn't always seem that great. True. There are times that life can be very, very difficult. But in the midst of all the difficulty that we face, God is still God. And we still have a relationship with Him. And that's why even if I'm going through a difficult time, I can still claim that such a great thing is happening in my life because I have a relationship with God. Now let's go through this, because the passage describes a little bit about what kinds of things has God done in the lives of His people. And it's going to be talking specifically about the people of Israel, but perhaps as we look through this, we can also begin to think about how this is true even in our own lives. It starts off in verse 33, and I'm not going to read it all over again, but it talks about in verse 33, how God spoke to His people. God spoke to His people, and it shows that He's a personal God. He's a God that speaks directly to His people. And it talks about how He spoke out of the fire, and even though they heard His voice, even though they encountered a holy God, they still kept their lives. They didn't die. And so God was a God who spoke personally to them. And the second thing is that in verse 34, it talks about how they were rescued from another nation. It's very interesting to hear that it's not just that God chose them. God did not just take them out from anywhere, but he took them out from a nation. And it was a great nation. It was a powerful nation. And what God was showing was that he was a powerful enough God to not only defeat this enemy, but to actually rescue his people out of this great nation. And so God is a powerful God. Not only that, in verse 35, it talks about how God chose his people. It says, to you it was shown, that you might know that the Lord is God. There is no other besides him. God didn't just reveal himself to anyone. God revealed himself to you. He chose you. And so God is an active God. He doesn't just stay back waiting for you to, you know, come to me. I'm waiting for you to respond to me. I'm waiting for you to confess your sins. I'm waiting for you to do what's right. No, God actually takes the initiative and he chooses his people and he rescues his people. He does his mighty work among his people. And then in verse 36, it says, he disciplines his people. And we're going to come back to this. And I put that he's a loving God because he disciplines. And for some of us, that might not make sense. For some of us, it makes sense, but you don't like that idea. And we're going to come back to that. Right. Now, I made a space and everything on the slide just to make clear that actually what comes after from verses 36 to verse 38 is a repeat of what's already been stated. Verse 36 talks about how God spoke to his people. Verse 37 talks about how he loves and chooses his people and even their children. And then verse 37b to verse 38, it talks about how God rescued his people and that he is a powerful God. And then in verse 38, at the end of verse 38, it mentions that God blesses his people with an inheritance, with the land, with an inheritance. And it says that as you see, even today. So what's incredible as we look at all these things is that God is an active God. God is a God who takes initiative. God is a God who has worked in a way so that everyone can see that God has worked in this way. God is a God who loves us. God is a God who has chosen us. God is a God who is a personal God. Now let me make one point clear. In a lot of other religions, you may hear about how God was their God or their idea of God maybe has worked in a powerful way. We might hear about how their God maybe has even helped them. But is there any God who has worked in the way that our God has worked? To have a personal relationship. Not just a God that's far off like the Muslim God. Not just like the many gods that are out there like the Hindu gods where they're just waiting for you to appease them so that maybe you could get some type of blessing. No, our God is a God that actually loves his people, that has a personal relationship with his people, and that'll rescue his people, that has rescued his people. And God blesses us. God blesses us ultimately with his presence. Our God is a wonderful God, and not just a God of an idea either. God is not just a God where the Bible tells us all these ideas and we're saying, oh yeah, I think I could try to believe that idea. No, God is a God who is actively working in people's lives. For the Israelites, when they hear that God rescued them out of the great nation, they can stand there right before going into the promised land saying, we are here today. Our people have actually experienced God. It's not just an idea that we believe. We have experienced God. And so our God, the Lord who is God, is an active God, a personal God, a powerful God, a loving God. And this God is the God, again, for you Christians, I'm talking to you. This God is the God who has sought you out, who desired to have a relationship with you, who continues to work actively in your lives. And if you can open your eyes, you can see how God is actively, you can experience it. God is actively working in your lives. Now, I want to quickly touch on this idea of how he disciplines. Because again, this is an idea that may not necessarily be a happy idea for some of us. Now, the word discipline, when we think about it, we think of maybe pain, maybe we think about spanking, we think about some type of punishment. And the Bible does use this idea when it does talk about discipline, but it talks about discipline in a way where a father will discipline his child in order to correct him, in order to bring his child back onto the right path. Now, interestingly, in our passage today, this word discipline is used in a particular way where it's actually not necessarily about punishment. It's not necessarily about some type of spanking. One example where this particular usage of this word is found in another part of the Bible is in Proverbs 31, verse 1. And some of you guys may be familiar with this passage. But it starts off by saying, "The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother disciplined him." It's this idea of teaching. It's this idea of training. It's this idea of guiding. Perhaps like a coach that helps you to think in a different way, in a better way, to help you to see what's good and what's right. Maybe it's like a consultant who comes and helps a business to have better business practices, to be able to maybe go at the problem from a different perspective. This discipline that's talked about in this passage is a discipline really that shows that God is a loving God, because he wants to show you who he is, and he wants to bless you and show you how you can live your life in relation to him. This is who our Lord is. This is who our God is. Now, there are a lot of times, though, that we see not only the Israelites forget who God is, but we also forget who God is. We may not forget him. We may know the idea of God, but then in our everyday decisions, in our everyday moments where we have to think about something, where we are struggling with a certain struggle in our lives, in those moments, it's very easy to forget about God. And so that's where we come to our second point, know and decide. Let me read our passage for us, and I don't have it on the screen, but let me throw this up. But let me read the passage where in verse 39 it says, "Know therefore today," knowing who God is, after having said everything that we've said about how the Lord is God, "know therefore today and lay it to your heart that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other." Now, I wanted to come up with multiple R words that start with R, to kind of help us understand a little bit more what the passage is talking about when it says "know and lay it to your heart." The word "know," it doesn't just mean like just have an idea or a concept, but what it means is to recognize that God is God. Recognize how God is working in your life. Recognize what God is doing all around us. And so the question that I have there is, do you give credit to the Lord? Do you give credit to God for the things that are happening in your lives? All the good things that happen in your life. Do you give credit to God? Do you give thanks to God for what's happening? Or perhaps even the difficult things that are going on in your life. where we can know and remember that God is a powerful God and God is working to guide me in the right path. And God is a God who loves me. God is the one who's constantly speaking to me. And so even in this difficult time, I know that God is working in my life. And so even in this difficult time, I give credit to you, God. I give thanks to you. I give glory to you. Do you do that? Next word is to remember. And I want us to just take a moment right now just to think about this question. How has God worked in your life? Again, I'm not just talking about thinking about God as just an idea. I'm talking about how have you actually experienced God in your lives? I really believe that if our God is described to be the God that's found in this passage, then God has actively worked in your lives. It's just that maybe sometimes we don't recognize it. And there are times that we've forgotten how God has worked in our past. And so take a time right now to think about how has God worked in your life? Take some time to remember. Let me give some examples. Maybe this will trigger some thoughts. Perhaps many of you have heard of testimonies. Some people have shared about how God has worked in their lives and how they have experienced God. One testimony that I've heard was about how they had a vision of heaven. And the person talked about how he went to the third heaven. And how he heard about things that were told him, but then he's not able to tell other people. And if that experience sounds kind of weird to you, this comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 to 5. This is Paul's experience. And I'm going to mention other experiences, maybe from the Bible, maybe from my own life, or maybe from my friends' lives. I'm just going to list out a bunch. Another person's experience was of prayers being answered and how they were able to escape dangerous situations. Still another person's experience was of how they had survived three near-death experiences and that he may be used by God to keep sharing the gospel with others. Another person's experience was of how they felt such peace when finally deciding to become a follower of Jesus. Or we may hear of a person who was finally able to overcome pornography. Or we hear about how a marriage was saved. Or also, I mean, it doesn't have to be this incredible experience. Maybe it's an experience where, again, this is an experience that I've heard about. A person may even have an experience with God as she quietly sits at home reading the Bible, but having an incredible moment of realization or of repenting of their sin. So what has God done to show His power, His love, His grace, His goodness, the fact that He's near, and the fact that He's actively working in your life? What kind of experience have you had? Again, it doesn't have to be some incredible experience. It could just be a moment where you just came to realize, but that was God that was working in your life to help you to realize what was going on. Moses says, "Know therefore today, remember and recognize how God has worked in your life." But also he says, "Lay it to your heart." Lay it to your heart. The first word that we have here is rely. And I'm trying to see if I have the passage here, but no, I don't have the passage. Okay, that's okay. There's a passage in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 47. Where it has this similar idea. Again, it's the same word and it has a similar type of usage where the idea is, lay it to your heart is the idea where we turn our heart to God, where we make it a little bit more sure that we see who God is, and we turn to Him, and we solidify that decision to turn to Him. And so that's why I use the word decide. You turn to God, you lay it to your heart, you remember who God is, and you say, yes, this is what I believe. This is what I believe to be true. And so the way that we do that is, first of all, to rely. Rely on the Lord. And the question that we can ask is, do you trust that God is God? Again, all the things that we described about who God is, do you trust that He really is a powerful God and that He's working in your life, no matter what kind of struggle you may be facing right now, and that He's actually working that out for your good? And God is working His purpose out through your life. Do you trust that He is God? Do you trust that He is a loving God? Even though you've gone through such a difficult experience, you've gone through such a difficult family experience, but do you still trust that God is a loving God and that He's pouring out His love upon you? Do you trust that God is a personal God and that He's right there with you? That He's wanting to have that personal relationship with you? Do you trust that He is God? And so whether it be in your family situation, whether it be in your work situation, whether it be about your future, whether it be about how things are going on in your own physical body or in your mind, do you still rely on the Lord and do you trust in Him? And the second thing is that if you are remembering and recognizing and you do trust in God and you're relying upon Him, are you turning to Him and repenting? The idea of repenting is the idea of turning back to God and saying, I do acknowledge that there are times that I don't trust in You, God. There are times that I still rely on other things in this world. The idea of repenting is saying you turn away from the things that you normally trust in and you turn to God. And that's the idea of laying it to your heart that the Lord is God. I'm saying that all of these other things in this world are not my God, but my God, the Lord Almighty, Yahweh, is my God. And you turn to Him and do that. The thing is, a lot of times we fail at this. A lot of times it's difficult to constantly have the Lord to recognize the ways that God is working in our lives. It's difficult to constantly be thinking about how God has worked so powerfully in our lives in the past. Especially when we're going through that difficult time. Especially when we feel rejected. Especially when we feel backstabbed by a friend. Especially when we've been hurt. In those moments, it's very difficult to remember and recognize how God is working and to rely upon Him and turn back to Him. And the interesting thing is that rather than giving credit to God, we end up blaming God. And in a similar way, instead of rejecting other things in this world, we end up relying on those things in this world. Instead of saying, God is the reason why I am who I am today. All the good and the bad, I trust that God is working in my life. And I have the privilege of sitting here in this church and listening to this sermon online. I have the privilege of being able to be in God's presence and hear His word because of all the ways that God has been working in my life. Instead of saying that, we say things like, it was my decision. It was because of this person that I have a better life today. It's because of this method that things are working out in my life. It's because of this program that I'm beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's because I'm away from that person that I'm able to relax a little bit more. And it's not to say that those things aren't factors in helping you see the light at the end of the tunnel. But are we recognizing how God is working through all those things? Are we giving credit to God, or are we giving credit to those things? The fact is that a lot of times our thoughts, and I don't have to just say generally, you guys can think yourselves. Do you have times in your lives where you give credit, you give thanks to the things that are happening in your life, the ways that you see things improving in your life, or the ways that you see things working out? Do you give credit to those factors or give thanks to those people that were involved without really recognizing that actually it's God that's orchestrating everything? And here's the thing. I think a lot of us Christians, if we were to be asked, did you give credit to God? Then we might answer, oh yeah, of course, of course. Of course God is working. Of course God is the one that's in control. But unless someone brings it up, the way that our hearts tend to go is that we won't think about God. We won't give credit to God. And when our hearts fall into that trap, what we end up doing is we end up rejecting God's powerful, loving, personal, active work in our lives. If a person continues to reject the Lord in this way, the Lord will also reject that person. But the good news is that we are in Christ. For those of us that are Christians, for those of us that have turned to the Lord and have relied on Him, for those of us that have started to recognize how God is working in our lives, for those of us that are in Christ, we can remember that we are not in the covenant of works where our blessings are based on how good we live our lives, but we are in the covenant of grace. And it's because of Jesus that we have life today. We know that Jesus, He lived a perfect life. He sets the example for us by remembering God the Father, recognizing how God the Father was there. Jesus Christ continually looked to the Father and met with Him in prayer. Jesus Christ was relying on the Father's power and the power being worked out through the miracles. Jesus Christ was working in wonderful ways and had His eyes fixed on the Father throughout the whole time, even when He faced crucifixion. Even when He was going to the cross for our sins, He still recognized that the Father was working. He remembered how the Father worked and ministered to Him through the angels, even when He was tempted. He remembered and recognized and relied upon the Father, and that's why He was able to be obedient to the end. And because Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, those of us that are Christians, we can say that we have life today. We are blessed because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the inheritance of having a relationship with our God. This is what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Give thanks, and it's continuing a message there, but it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, not because of anything you have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done perfectly in His life. He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And what is that inheritance? The inheritance is to be able to be resurrected to life with Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with our God in heaven perfectly one day, but not just for the future. Even today, we're able to have this relationship with God. And this is possible because He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And because Jesus has accomplished this work in our lives, Jesus, the active, loving, personal, powerful God, is continually speaking to you. Remember that word discipline? How He teaches and guides us? Jesus, the Word of God, continues to teach us. He doesn't leave us alone to try to remember, oh, I can't remember. He doesn't leave us alone to do that. But Jesus actively works in our lives. He is the Word of God. He's the one that's teaching us, reminding us, showing us, opening our eyes to see how God is working. And so, brothers and sisters, Christians, let's begin to recognize and give praise to God for how He is a God who is so active and loving and working in our lives, how He is a personal God. Let our testimony be the testimony of Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. What are some practical things that we can do today to begin to recognize and remember and to rely on the Lord and to repent? What are some things that we could do today? Well, first of all, a very practical idea is try journaling. Try writing down in a journal or on your phone in your notes section or maybe on your computer or maybe on a blog. Start writing down all the things that you're experiencing in your relationship to God. Start writing down the things when you read the Bible, the things that you're learning from the Bible and the thoughts that come to your mind as you're reading. Start writing down the things that you're experiencing at church or your relationship with other people or about how you're wanting to share the gospel with others and about what happens with that. Start writing down your prayers. That's what I do. I usually write down my prayers. Start writing it down because you know what happens is that after some time has passed and you've been practicing journaling, you can go back and look at what you've written. And that'll help to remind you of how God has worked in your life in a powerful way. And maybe even from that time you can see how God has worked in you so that you can grow and mature from that time. Another thing that we can do to begin to do this is to decide to keep sharing what God has done in your life. To keep sharing with other people in the church. To keep sharing with people at work. Or with people at home. To keep talking about what God is doing in your life. It doesn't have to be that thing just about how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but it could be how God is actively working in your life, even in this past week. Keep sharing what God has done. And if you desire, one way to really, really bless our church is to come up to the front here, up here, and share what God has done in your life. Please share with us your testimony. I want to invite anyone that wants to share to contact our church, and we'll set aside like 5 minutes in our service for you to come up and share what God has been doing in your life. And the more people share about how God is working, the more everyone else will be encouraged to continue to seek the Lord and to be reminded that our God is truly an active, personal, loving, gracious God that's continually speaking to us for His glory. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You so much for how You are such a great God. And because You are such a great God that's actively working in our lives, Lord, may we also respond with a desire, with gladness, and with hope. May we obey You, Your commands, to live in Your way and to continue to share about how You have worked in our lives. Lord, I pray for everyone here. Lord, for some people, they're going through such a difficult time. Lord, I pray that You would be working in their lives, that they would be reminded that You are a God who is still working actively in their lives, even through that difficult time. And so, Lord, I pray that You would do Your powerful work in all of our hearts for Your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.